The Public News Service Daily Newscast, June the 15th, 2021. I'm Mike Clifford. The Minnesota Court of Appeals has upheld approvals of permits for the Line 3 oil pipeline. The move is seen as a win for Enbridge Energy, the company behind the project, but tribal activists opposed to the effort say they will keep on fighting.
In a 2-1 decision, the court said state regulators acted properly when giving their consent to Line 3, which is being built to replace an aging oil pipeline that runs across northern Minnesota. Winona LaDuc is one of the leading tribal advocates speaking out against Line 3. She says the state, including Governor Tim Walz, has let them down.
I am so dismayed by the Court of Appeals, and we will stand in resistance with thousands of others. The summer is young.
She says the ruling will result in more people arrested or hurt, with opposition surfacing along the construction route. Last week, protesters held their largest gathering yet, resulting in arrests after people locked themselves to equipment. Meanwhile, LaDuc says they're pleading with the Biden administration to intervene. Canada-based Enbridge says Line 3 creates thousands of jobs and that high degrees of safety are being applied to construction and maintenance. I'm Mike Moen.
Even if the decision goes to the Minnesota Supreme Court, opponents worry that would take a long time before the ruling is issued. Meantime, President Joe Biden issued a warning to Russian President Vladimir Putin ahead of their Wednesday summit that the death of jailed Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny would hurt Russia's relationship with the rest of the world. That from CNBC. They quote Biden as saying Navalny's death would be another indication that Russia has little or no intention of abiding by basic fundamental human rights. A new report finds that Michigan's unemployment insurance system lags behind other Midwestern states by leaving too many workers out and having benefits that are too low.
The report from the Michigan League for Public Policy notes that the current UI system disproportionately leaves out Black and Latino workers, with its high eligibility requirements and maximum benefit only a third of the average weekly wage in the state. Peter Ruark is a policy analyst with the League and notes many workers of color live in highly populated communities with fewer jobs available and more often work part-time and are paid lower wages.
A lot of lower paid workers, they simply don't earn enough to qualify for unemployment insurance. We need to make Michigan's system more responsive to the needs of lower paid workers as well.
He adds that most people want to find work rather than stay on unemployment, but the system is a crucial stopgap so that workers and their families don't have to face extreme financial hardship while job searching. I'm Lily Bolke reporting.
This is PNS. People from all political viewpoints and backgrounds encouraged to learn how they can help defeat the toxic polarization plaguing our country. This is a national week of conversation. It's designed to counteract the hostility often found online through understanding.
Executive Director of the Ohio Council of Churches, the Reverend Dr. Jeff Sullivan, says listening to different points of view can challenge long-held beliefs and assumptions, which is understandably uncomfortable. He suggests starting a conversation with what unites us as human beings.
As opposed to beginning with where we differ and what inflames us more, we have to figure out a way to neutralize the false sense of outrage and anger that are spewed out across society.
Instead of trying to sway someone's opinion on an issue, experts suggest less talking and more listening to understand their perspective. For Public News Service, I'm Mary Sherman.
And an event in Idaho this week hopes to plant seeds for the sustainability movement in agriculture. Eric Tegenoff explains.
The Carbon Summit is at the College of Idaho in Caldwell on Wednesday and Thursday, featuring speakers with a range of expertise, covering everything from energy to diversity in the sustainability space. Program advisor Jason Marmon says this is a comprehensive event for folks who believe there is a better way of doing things in agriculture.
This event is around sustainable solutions, and that's a huge conversation. And so you got to bring in a lot of different personalities, ways of thinking, experiences, and you have to try to find some common ground with people.
Marmon says topics for the event include corporate practices in agriculture, the renewable energy transition, and shifting farms to a regenerative agriculture model.
The theme is SEEDS, which stands for Sustainability, Energy, Education, Diversity, and Safety. Finally, our Diane Bernard tells us today is World Elder Abuse Awareness Day.
Scams and frauds against folks over the age of 55 increased dramatically during the pandemic as criminals used more sophisticated methods to separate folks from their money, according to Hank Greenberg, state director of AARP Maryland, a co-sponsor of the campaign. He says the Federal Trade Commission, or FTC, keeps track of scam numbers and notes the pandemic relief packages over the past year brought in a lot of cash, but thieves are following the money and targeting seniors through phone and computer scams.
In the first 3 months of this year alone, the FTC says that 30,664 cases of fraud have already been reported in Maryland, and that's almost double the number of cases that were reported this time last year.
One in 20 older adults say they have experienced some form of financial abuse in the recent past. This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service. Remember, listener supported, heard on interesting radio stations, and online at publicnewsservice.org.